the book of James. Now, those of you who are very perceptive, and in this group, I'm not saying if there are any, but those of you who might be pretty perceptive, the moment I said turn to James, thought, hey, we did this Sunday, right? I heard a story a long time ago about a guy that was preaching, and he would get up on a Sunday morning and he'd preach a sermon, and everybody would walk out and say, man, that's good, that's good, that's a good sermon. And then Sunday night, at big church, they have church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and he would preach the same lesson on Sunday night, and they'd say, well, that's good. It's good. He preached the same lesson on Wednesday night. Well, okay. He's a young guy, so they put up with it. Finally, after 3 or 4 weeks of that sermon, they said, I don't know, do you know that you're preaching the same lesson every time? He said, yeah, and when y'all get it right, I'll change to a new one. So, I guess that's why I picked James a second time. Now, here's what I want us to do. We're going to do this for a while. I don't know how long it'll last, but I'm suspecting it'll last through the summer. Because it's something that caught my imagination today, is the thought of, you say something or you hear a story or something, you say, you know, on second thought, after I thought about that, after I had a chance to think about it, here's what I understood, here's what I saw. We read and discussed the letter that James wrote to folks just like us, Sunday. We picked one verse from each chapter. Now you understand, all of the verses are good verses. All of the verses come from God and all of them ought to be studied. But all of them, we couldn't get to all of them Sunday. You know, there's no way we could have gotten to all of them Sunday. And so while I'm walking around checking air conditioners and stuff, y'all just keep listening and looking for James. Well, there's no way we can get to all the verses. So, it's my job. There's a person who likes to set the air conditioner on 78. They're a phantom. They do it all the time. I come into the building when nobody's been here and it's on 78. Okay. Of course, it would be better when you preach James, there's a lot of fire and brimstone in it, so you ought to get hot and sweaty. All right, anyway, we went through those chapters. We went through those verses. Good stuff, I think. God wrote it. That ought to make it happen, right? But after I read it again, after I thought about it since Sunday, I thought, you know, on second thought, here's some things I think we ought to pay attention to. Now, Wednesday nights are a little bit different than any other time. I think it's my favorite day. Gives us a chance. We're a different kind of group when we meet on Wednesdays. And what I want to do is us just kind of have a discussion on here's something else, a second thought I got on that letter that we read on Sunday morning. And this time it happened to be James, so let's go back to James. I want you to notice, well, after I turn there, I'll tell you what I want you to notice. I want you to notice, it caught my attention when I read back through James. I noticed James chapter 1, verse 8. I want you to circle the phrase, or put a star by it, underline the phrase double-minded. James chapter 1, verse 8. Now we're going to work backwards, all right? A person who is double-minded, is what kind of fella? He can't make up his mind. Now, I want you to stay in this text, working backwards now, and tell me what you know about this double-minded fella. What can he not make up his mind about? Look at the text. How is he double-minded? He He asks for something, but he doubts it. He asks for wisdom, but doubt God gives it to him. Now, if you keep pushing backwards, you see the root of that. What creates this dilemma for him? What creates the dilemma that causes him to ask for something, but to doubt whether God's going to do it for him? It's the lack of trust. Now, keep pushing backwards. What causes that lack of trust? His past. Now, there, past can be involved in it, but I want you to find a word in the text. Yeah, his lack of wisdom, of course, is part of the problem because he doesn't know how to address or how to deal with what? Look at the troubles. It's trials, it's troubles, it's temptations. Here's what the picture is. On second thought now, here's what dawned on me. We start going through a tough time. We start going through a situation that it's hard for us to handle. And what do we start doing immediately? I want your response. What do you start doing? I heard doubting. What do you start doing?
Second guessing
yourself or second guessing God. We either start praying immediately, God help me out of this, God help me out of this, God help me out of this, God help me out of this. And because we're, especially, and it was true, it's always been true, but it's particularly true of us, we want it right now. We want quick fix. We are a microwave Christian people. We punch the button and we want it done. I think I told you a story before. I pulled up to a McDonald's one time that had one of these counters on it that it was clicking off the seconds, and they were bragging about how fast they could get the food to you. And I'm sitting there talking, and it's taking forever to get our order. Forever. I get upset. I'm telling the kids, I can't believe it. It's taking forever to get an order and all that kind of stuff. And they finally give me the order, and I'm not rude, but I'm frustrated because I want my food and I want it now. And that's why I go to a fast food. And if I wasn't going to fast food, I'd have gone to Dairy Queen. And, you know, all and on and on and on. Or Arby's. And I look up in the counter, and guess what? How much time had passed? Now, I'm telling you the truth. I am not lying to you. 3 minutes had passed. 3 minutes? That's nothing. 3 minutes is nothing. When it used to tell my mother, Mother, is it time for supper? I said, yeah, I'll set the table. It took me 3 minutes to set the table, much less waiting for the rest of the supper to cook. We've gotten so used to fast foods and convenience that we expect God to move on that same time. We're looking for a job. I want it tomorrow. Well, not tomorrow because I like to sleep late. Well, how about the next day? And we want it on our terms. We want things fixed in a marriage. Right now. Right done. Don't want to do any work on it. Want it done right now. Did you jump, baby? Don't jump. Well, I don't mind if you jump. I'm just watching out for her, little Faith Rexina. All right, now. We want things right now. Here's what happens to us, though. When things don't change right now, what do we start doing? Two things happen, and we've got second guessing, and it goes both ways. Sometimes we blame God. And so what do? Because God has now made us mad. God has turned his back on us. I know you, okay? And we have talked about all kinds of things. And I'm not talking about any one person or any one situation. I'm really just talking about me because I've been in that situation. I can be so, and I'll just say, man, I'm just fed up with everything. And I started making myself check. And if you've talked to me very much, you've heard me do it to you. Start going through everything. Is everything in your life bad? Everything? God hates me and everything's going wrong. Or no, hold on. What do you mean by everything? Start making a list. Everything? Well, it's never everything. But I get mad at God. Now, what do I do when I get mad at God? When I get frustrated with God, he's not listening to me, he's not taking care of me, I'm having all these troubles, and I'm upset, and I'm frustrated. What? I'm sorry? What does that mean? Oh, say you think you shouldn't? I didn't know what that meant, but now I do. I'll use it tomorrow at work. Said, you know, when you get to bumping your gums, or gumping your bums, whatever you want to do. And the people listening to this tape are going, what did he say? That was Josh that said that, not me. All right, now, we go to mouthing off, but what else do? We start taking it, and honest, and some of us know this so well, when we get frustrated with one situation, we'll think, well, fine. And we walk away from the situation and do what we want to, because if we're in control doing what we want to, then everything's going to be all right, because look at our lives. We've done a great job of taking care of us, hadn't we? We've done everything right, hadn't we? And we went to do what we want, when we want, how we want. Everything is wonderful. No, but we'll just show God. I'll just show God. And we act like we're just going to give up on... Now, how smart is that? There's no smart at all. But now on the flip side of that, if I don't get frustrated with God, what do? I get frustrated with me. I just say, well, it's hopeless. I'm just no good. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not a good enough person. I can't do it. And so what do? I give up. And the same thing results from both of those. Now here's what he's saying. There's going to be stuff happen in your life that's going to cause you some stress. It's going to cause you some strain. It's going to cause you to have some pressure in your life. You're going to have to work to make things better. You're going to have to work to overcome some things. Look what he says. You're going to face trials. Now, he said face them with joy. Now, we'll talk about that in a second. But that means there are trials. But find the word. In the first four verses, find the word that is the key to surviving, and not just surviving, overcoming any trial. Endurance. Yeah, and in the text it'll use the word perseverance, which means? And John and I heard it said in the school we went to a jillion times. It was repeated over and over again. You keep on keeping on. You don't quit. You keep trying. You don't give up. I'm not able to pay my bills right now. So here's what I do. I'm not able to pay my bills right now, so I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated with God, or I'm frustrated with me. There's no reason God would bless me because I'm worthless, and I give up on me. I give up on God. And so what do? I quit my job, I burn my bridges, and I go off by myself, and I sit there and does it help?
No.
Does it get better?
No.
No. No, no, no. He says you got to persevere. You got to get through this. We've enjoyed several stories about babies being born. One of the funniest things I ever saw on a movie was a young lady that was pregnant, and she was all excited about having this baby until the first labor pain hit her. And she says, okay, I'm done. I'm done. I don't want to have the baby anymore. Guess what? It doesn't happen that way. You got to see it through, right? And that takes endurance. It takes perseverance. If you're going to do anything. And of course, we're too old now. We're too mature to see it. But if we could learn, if we could remember back when we were little kids, do you know how hard it was for you to learn to speak? Some of you still having trouble. And you're old people. But you know, when you're a little bitty kid, when Faith Rexita starts trying to speak, I mean, we're going to repeat words, and she's going to say things, and we're going to laugh, and she's going to repeat words, and we're going to laugh, and it's going to take her years to learn the English language, right? She's going to have to persevere. Same thing with walking. Do you remember the first time? You don't remember it, but I remember. I seen people dislike you. I raised a few. They pulled up on that coffee table. I jingled the keys in front of them. Hookie, bookie, baby, baby. And they thought, I can trust this old man. He'll take care of me. And they let go, and what happened? Hit their head on the coffee table, burned their face on the carpet. And we're all laughing. It took perseverance. You don't learn to ride a bike without perseverance. You don't learn to drive a car without perseverance and a patient parent. You don't learn how to pay your bills, get a good job, build a career out of a job. You don't learn how to have a happy marriage or a good, healthy marriage without perseverance. A double-minded man will not persevere. A double-minded woman will not persevere. Because you know what you do when you're double-minded?
Wishy-washy.
You're wishy-washy. Good word. You can't decide, well, am I going to do this? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do this? I'm going to do this. You don't know. You don't ever stay in one place. Take a tree, take a plant, any kind of plant. Lots of people planting stuff now. Take a plant and plant it today and make it all pretty around it and water it and all that kind of stuff. And then tomorrow decide you want to move it. Okay, so you dig it up and move it over here. And the next day, and you water it all that. And the next day you come out, well, I don't like that. So you dig it up and you plant it over another place. What eventually happens?
It dies.
It dies because it never gets a chance to
grow
any roots. So on second thought, from the book of James, I thought we need to discuss it. Folks, we have got to learn to get focused on what is right, doing what is right, living in a way that's right, and not turn from that. Yeah, but you don't understand. I guarantee you I don't understand everything you're going through. But I bet you that I understand some things in my life that you don't understand. But whether I understand it or not, or whether you understand me or not, is not the point. God said it. That settles it. If you're going to go through trouble, the only way to get through the trouble is to persevere. Stick to it. Keep saying the right words and not the wrong. I can remember, and I hate to say this because my mother will listen to this and I'll be in trouble. But I went through a time in my life where every breath, I mean, if I was breathing, I was cussing. I was cussing. I mean, I said it. You know? It just came out all the time. And now, it didn't come out when I was around my mother. And that's what finally taught me that you can help it. I used to tell people, well, I can't help it. I can't quit. Yeah, you can. What's your mama come around? Your preacher come around? You didn't say it. I learned that I could control it. You got to work. You got to persevere. You got to learn to choose new words. You got to say good words. But you got to make up your mind you're going to do that. You got to persevere. It's true about anything. You want to find a job. You want to build a strong family. You want to raise kids to honor Jesus. You want to have a job that pays and takes care of your family and gives you a good life. You got to persevere. You got to get planted and you got to stay planted. Okay. On second thought, I thought we ought to discuss that. All right, look at chapter 2. Chapter 2. I didn't discuss it with us Sunday because it's probably the most often discussed passage in church out of the book of James. Is in chapter 2, verse 14 through the end of that chapter when it talks about this simple point. Faith without works is dead. Well, I want you to look at verse 18. And on second thought, I think we ought to look at that one. Show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Underline that phrase, by what I do. Faith is not just a church house discussion. Now, I like the fact that we have some real discussions in this place. But I also know that it doesn't matter. Any religious group, any Bible study group, any prayer meeting group, any kind of group that thinks they're somewhat spiritual, well, it can even be true in business. But you get a group together and you start talking about all the great things you're going to do. And you know what bottom line is? Show me what you can do. Anybody can talk a good game. Show me what you can do. Don't stand and tell me what kind of wonderful husband you think you are or you could be. No, show me what you can do. Don't sit around and talk about what a great worker you are and how much your boss deserves to pay you more. I'm all for more pay. Show me what you can do. God says it this way, don't sit around praying and singing and preaching and churching about faith. Show me what you can do. Now, I think there's some faith that comes with doing stuff at church. And that's not even the right way to say it, but you know what I mean. We wouldn't sing if there wasn't faith, right? Some of us would never sing if we didn't have faith, right? Do you ever sing in public? Now, I am awesome in my car when there's nobody around. I am awesome. I mean, I am awesome. I can rap. I can do country. And I can do even that Who Let the Dogs Out song. I can do the barking and everything. I am good. But if there's people around, you will not hear me sing like that. Oh, no, 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 no. Why? Because I don't think they think they're not going to send me to American Idol unless it's that to be that Chinese dude, right? But on Sunday morning, you know what I do? I sing loud and proud. You know why? Because I believe that's what God wants me to do. That's what I believe God wants me to do. I don't sing that way because Kelly wants me to. I don't sing that way because somebody, some song leader yelled at us and said, y'all need to sing louder. No, I sing that way because I believe God wants me to. And I hear somebody say, well, I'm not going to sing because it's too bad. No, not with. I understand how you feel because I feel the same way. But when it comes to God, I got some faith that God hears me, so I'm going to sing. I know there are things that we do at church that take faith. But the point of this verse is not what we do in church, it's how we be church. How are we going to live our lives? Let's not sit here and talk about it. Let's do it. So on second thought, I thought we might ought to discuss that here. That it might be something we especially need right now. There's some of us were around before we met in this place. And we met in a little old bitty place. Well, there's some of us that were meeting when there's only three or four of us. We're meeting at my house on Wednesday nights. I would have never imagined this. I certainly wasn't paying for all that pizza, right? But some of us were at the very beginning of this thing, and we look around and we're amazed. And it's real easy for folks that were here from the beginning to go, man, look at this. This is all right. And kind of sit back and say, oh, that's all right. And there's others of you that are just brand new. You think this is the way it's supposed to be. You didn't have to, and you're lucky. You did good. You timed it right. You didn't have to clean up this place. You didn't have to go in that closet. You didn't have to see the stuff in the kitchen. You didn't have to put, I tell you what, you should have been here the day old Aaron and the guys put up insulation above these tiles. Oh my. You're talking about a dirty old scratchy itchy job. Some of y'all missed that. But what happens is it comes and it's a nice little church thing. I mean, there's a few stains on the carpet. A bunch of stains on the carpet. But here's what happens to us is we get lulled into thinking that this is faith. I understand it takes some faith. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a faith that does things, that gets involved and does things. And it's not just when we're sitting in here and all talking about faith and we're all very spiritual and we all have our faith and we praise God for all of our faith. No, it's about what you do. What do you do at home when nobody's around? What do you do on the job when your boss is not looking? What do you do? What do you do with your bills when nobody demands that you pay them? What do you do in your heart when nobody's watching? Well, do what it says. Show me your faith by what you do, right? Chapter 3. We talked about the tongue on Sunday, but on second thought, I thought, you know, one of the things we ought to discuss is verse 13 and following. But I would have loved to have been able to do it in a way to catch you where we could really, to sneak up on you, not catch you. I'm not trying to get you in trouble, but sneak up on you so I'd really get your honest reaction. So I want you to give me as best you can your honest reaction, no Sunday school answers. I'm going to read you some words. Take these words and see if they describe any part of your life. Okay. Envy. Selfish ambition. Disorder, chaos, evil practice. Okay. Now, you don't say it out loud. I'll just let you think it through. You apply it. Is there envy in your life? Is there, what's the next one? Is there ambition? Is there selfish ambition? Do you think in terms of what's best for you above what's best for somebody else? Is there chaos? Folks, I'm serious. Think about it. You find yourself, just everything's chaotic, everything's chaos. And do you find yourself doing things that are evil? Now, don't say it out loud, but if that's true, I want you to look where that comes from. Look where that comes from. Verse 15, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and is of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder, chaos, and every evil practice. So why is there envy in your heart? Why is there selfish ambition in your heart? Why is there chaos in your life and every evil practice in your behavior? It's because you got your head in the wrong place. You're thinking, you got some stinking thinking, right? So what you got to do is change your way of thinking. You got to change your wisdom, right? Look what he says, verse 17. The wisdom that comes from above, the wisdom that comes from heaven. Now I want you to notice these words: pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Now look at those words one more time. Everybody in this room wants that kind of life. Everybody in this room wants that kind of life, right? I don't think any of us want chaos. I don't think any of us want evil practice. I don't think any of us, I don't think any of us want envy or selfish ambition. I think we get so accustomed to it, though, it's where we feel is our comfort zone. That's what we're used to. That's what we saw growing up. That's what we hear from our friends and family. So we just keep repeating the cycle over and over again. You want to break the cycle? You want to change your life? You want to rebuild your life? You want to start a new life for your family? Then get your head out of the devil's way of thinking and put your head in God's way of thinking. And it says wisdom that comes from heaven is pure. Start thinking pure things. It's not always about what somebody does wrong. It's not always about what you think somebody ought to do. Be pure and then peace-loving. Oh, I love this one. Love peace. I know people who want there to be a fight. They want there to be a fight. They will argue with you just to get you to fuss with them. I worked with a guy one time. That's what his joy was to say things to irritate you. When I finally figured out what he was doing, I agreed with him on everything. Drove him nuts. Even if he disagreed, if I said something, I'd say, well, it's light outside. No, it's not. It's getting dark. Hey, you're right. It's getting dark. We hated that. Couldn't stand it. If we loved peace like we love to fuss, our families would be different. Churches would be different. Love peace. Now, You understand? I'm not saying you put up with whatever somebody else is doing, because real peace comes from God winning. Say it again. Real peace comes from God winning. So I love it when God wins an argument in my family. I love it when God wins an argument in my heart. I love it when God wins an argument in my church. Be peace-loving. And look at that next one. Considerate. You know what that word means? That's one of those good words that I think we've lost. You know what considerate means? It's to think about what that person needs and not myself. It's not hard to find out in a marriage situation or in a church situation or a work situation what you want. Because we're not bashful about telling people what we want. Well, I don't like the... Sometimes we don't say, I want this. We say, I don't like that, which implies what we really want. What if we started taking a change in the way we looked at people? What if we stopped thinking the devil's way and started thinking God's way and started being considerate and thought, I wonder what she needs today. I wonder what my mama needs today. I wonder what my wife needs today. I wonder what my daughter needs today. I wonder what my boss needs today. Well, man, if you do that, then you never stand up for yourself. Ta-da! Thinking like God puts you at caring for other people more than you care about yourself. Look at that next one, submissive. We don't like the word. We have been trained almost as a generation to expect others to do what we want rather than to do what they want. How many folks have I known in my life who got bent out of shape with their boss and they quit a job and they didn't understand that's the boss? They have a right to tell you, you got to wear a tie. They have a right to tell you, show up on time. Show up on time. Yeah. They have a right to tell you, you're going to act like this when you answer the phone. Well, I'm a grown man. I don't let anybody tell me what to do. Then you're going to spend a lot of time looking for a job. Well, submissive means you give in. You give in. Now, are you giving in because you understand what they're asking? Because here's what I hear. But if I understood why they wanted it that way, it'd be a lot easier. I don't really believe that, but I understand your position. You give in, you submit because you think like God thinks. God thought we should be submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Circle that last word, circle the last word, sincere. I don't know that there's any substitute for it, folks. I spent way too much of my life, dealing with people that in the last resort, last discussion, were insincere. And I think I was infected that way and let it go on and on and on around me. The key for us getting wisdom like God, thinking like God, a key to it is being sincere. Let's be honest. Let's be real. On second thought, I thought we ought to talk about that. Look at chapter 4. And just like on Sunday, I'm done. My heart's full of stuff. I need to hush and just go do what I know to do. But I want you to look at chapter 4. Look at verse 2. The last sentence of verse 2. And somebody tell me what the last sentence of verse 2 says. So you know I'm not making it up. You do not have because you do not ask God. We'll start with that premise first. We fuss about our jobs, our finances, our families, our children. We fuss about everything. But have you asked God about it? Have you asked God to do something about it? Well, yeah, I asked him yesterday and he's not done anything yet. I didn't say it's going to be done by Thursday, or in this case, Wednesday night. Have you asked God about it and given God time to work it out? Give God time, but you ask. But the second part of this, and this is what I wanted us to focus on, because you know, around here, I don't think we have much trouble asking. I don't see us having a lot of trouble asking. We've asked for all kinds of stuff here, and God's answered it. But look at verse 3. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Now, not looking at anybody, not pointing any fingers, except at me. But I've done it. Have you? Ask God for something. Ask God for something, and when He gave it to you, instead of thanking God for it and becoming more devoted to God because He gave it to you, you let what He gave you pull you away from Jesus. Saw a fella in this room. No, he's not in here right now. But he was in this room when he said, "Guys, I've got to have a job and it's got to pay me this much." God answered his prayer within a week. And we haven't seen him since. God answered his prayer. It was amazing. In fact, we never were even able to celebrate God's answer to that prayer because the fellow never came back to say thank you. Does that ever happen? Not with us. We've never done anything like that. But on second thought, I thought we ought to discuss that. We pray for a lot of things here, and I'm glad we do. We pray for cars. We pray for kids. We pray for judges and lawyers, and we pray for jail terms, and we pray for about diseases and rent and mortgages and bills. We pray for all kinds of things here. So what do we do when God answers that prayer? Do we show ourselves devoted to Him, or do we spend it on our own pleasure and let God, or treat God as if He had nothing to do with it? Alright, look at chapter 5. Look at chapter 5. I'm done. But I want you to look at verse 17. I'm sorry, verse 16. Verse 16. 1 John 5:16. On second thought, after we looked at James, I thought maybe we ought to talk about this. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Couple of things to note. Confess is admit. One of the things that gave this place and you people great power is when we could be honest with each other. Now, whether it's public or private is not the point. It's we got to be honest. Honest with God first, yes. Maybe honest with ourselves first, and then honest with God, and then honest with each other. But if you're struggling with something that's eating at you and you can't let it go, you can't overcome it, you need to tell somebody. Now, it says confess it to each other. That implies a brother or a sister. And honest, I'm of the thought that it ought to be somebody that is not necessarily involved in it with you. And it's like, I see teenagers do it all the time. I went to my girlfriend and I talked to her about my problems. Guess what? It happens all the time. Not just with teenagers. It happens with single folks. It happens with college folks. It happens with old folks. You go to somebody that's going through the same thing, they don't know any more than you do. And that you go to them with a problem and you say, "Well, you know what I did?" And you know what he said that I said? They did thing and they said it. Yes, they did. And what's that person that your friend going to say?
Oh, that's
nothing compared to what I did. Or Well, you're right. I can't believe it. You should have just kicked her right in the throat and just gone and on and on. I think implied here is you talk to somebody who has the ability to hear what you're saying and pray for you, that is righteous and faithful. It doesn't mean stand up and yelling at the whole crowd. It means find somebody that you trust, somebody that's your brother, sister, somebody who's righteous, somebody who's living a righteous life. Tell them what's going on in your heart. Tell them what's going on in your life. And let them pray for you. It will help you. In fact, it says here, you will be healed from that. Now, Jesus will forgive you. That's already settled. We've talked about that. But this is about not just getting forget. This is not about forgetting forgiveness. This is about getting strength to overcome it. You tired of failing and falling to the same sin? Talk to somebody, mature, faithful brother or sister who's living a right life and let them pray for you. Because the prayer of that righteous person is powerful and effective. And on second thought, I thought we may need to hear that. Let's pray. Father, I've seen it all my life. Read your word one day and read it the next and see a whole nother just treasure of truth and good things. Thank you for giving us a chance to read your word again. God, in this room, we've tried to be honest, and we want to be honest with you now. Some of us are dealing with some things that are that are controlling us, and we can't seem to break free. Some of us, God, have gotten so content with our lives, we've forgotten that there's room for improvement. God, some of us are lazy. Some of us are hateful. Some of us are jealous. Some of us are angry. Some of us are irresponsible, inconsiderate, rude, foolish. Hear our confessions, God, from our hearts right now. We want to be forgiven. Please forgive us. And God, we don't want to just be forgiven, though. God, we want to be stronger. We want to be better. We want to be like the men and women that you spoke through James to. We want people who make it through the trouble, who do show our faith, that do live with your wisdom instead of the devil's wisdom. People that have the faith in you that they, so we can ask for things, but then the courage and the commitment that after we get it, we don't just waste it on us. We praise you with it and share it with others. And God, we want to be the kind of people. We thank you for the people you brought in our lives that allow us to confess. I'm going to ask that you help us be those same kind of people. We want to be faithful, strong, righteous people who can listen and accept others when they've done wrong and help them. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, y'all. Mm-hmm.